going to be the groan episode.
I'm very optimistic about this episode. It's going to be great.
I'm sure that you are.
I have more notes for this episode than I think any episode in Cult Neuro Chat history.
Good. I'm glad. I've got it in my noggin. I didn't particularly want to relive it too terribly much, but I didn't watch a refresher video.
Yeah, I read your ratings. That was probably enough.
Yeah, that almost did me in.
Well, let's go through the weekend scores first before we dive into this Madrid derby here.
Yes, let's.
We're through 23.
The best thing in this episode, the whip around.
We're through 23 weeks, Rob. And, well, it was an exciting weekend for sure. There were six red cards doled out. Six across 10 games.
It's always a sign of good refereeing.
Yeah, the refereeing has gotten quite a hammering this weekend, deservedly so. On Friday, Valladolid and Villarreal drew 0-0. Villarreal, they're in trouble, Rob. They're in very deep trouble. They're 4 points adrift of safety. They've won just 3 games this year.
I have no idea how that's happened.
I feel bad for our friends at Villarreal USA. They deserve better.
Yeah, I like their team a lot. It's quite frustrating because I feel like they have more than enough players to not be in that trouble. I mean, they should be fighting for Europa League.
Man, Huesca have more wins than them, and we don't like Huesca.
Yeah. I don't understand how this has happened, but come on, Santi, pull him out of it.
Former Arsenal great, Santi Cazorla.
Well, in La Liga, legend.
Yeah, indeed.
Indeed. Absolutely the best player that wasn't Messi or Ronaldo when he was in the league.
Oh, in his prime, he was unbelievable.
Whew. Oh, yeah.
Getafe 3, Celta 1. That kicked off Saturday. Getafe into 5th, Celta into 17th. Espanyol 2-1 winners over Rayo Vallecano. A big, big win for them. That's their first in 5, I believe. Yes, first win in 5. Girona 0, Huesca 2. Girona are in some trouble, Rob. They've lost 4 in a row. Can't ever lose to Atletico, but they can lose to everyone else.
Yeah, including Huesca. I would not have thought that going into the match.
The great Huescape is on. They're unbeaten in their last 3.
That would be unbelievable.
I've got to credit our...
I thought they were totally cut adrift months ago.
I've got to credit our friend Ewan McTeer for coming up with that one.
it's a good one.
On Sunday.
They have to start playing the song in the stadium now.
On Sunday, Leganés 3-0 winners over 10-man Real Betis. Betis, who beat Atletico last week, managed just 0.1 expected goals in this game. Yeesh.
Yeah, they're a pretty up-and-down team this year.
Extremely. They have alternated wins and losses in their last 5. Valencia, a goalless draw against Real Sociedad. 13th of the season in 23 weeks. Sevilla and Eibar playing out an entertaining 2-2 draw. 2 late goals from Ben Yedder and Pablo Sarabia. Not Sarabia. I can't remember who scored the second one. But it came...
Yeah, it was Pablo. Oh, yeah, it was Sarabia.
Was it Sarabia?
Yeah.
It was Sarabia.
In the 92nd minute?
92nd
yeah.
minute, that's right. Yeah, 2 very, very late goals securing a point at the Pizjuan for Sevilla. And finally, on Sunday, Athletic 0, Barcelona 0. Keeps the title race alive, maybe, kind of, sort of, but that's a big point for Athletic.
Big point, and it could have been more if not for Ter Stegen.
Yeah, he made 2 or 3 just really unbelievable saves in this game. Finally,
yeah, that will happen.
Finally, on Monday, Alaves with a comfortable 2-0 win over Levante. Alaves maintaining their spot in the top 6. All right, let's go back to Saturday where we have quite the game to discuss at the Wanda Metropolitano. Atletico Madrid 1, Real Madrid 3. Okay, where do you want to start? We have so many places we can start with this loss. I'll turn it over to you.
Well, I mean, might as well start chronologically. Yeah. So we can start with the lineup, I guess.
We can indeed start there. I didn't really have an issue with it. I mean, Rodri on the bench stunk, but he had been battling a thigh injury in training all week. Atleti had kind of kept it under wraps, so we didn't really know about it. But he was very touch and go, and he started on the bench, which, combined with no Koke, that really gave Atleti's midfield, really gave Real Madrid's midfield the advantage, a heavy advantage that they kept throughout the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can just imagine if Koke had been out there, he would have been able to put a lot more pressure on guys like Modric and Kroos than some of the other midfielders did. But, I mean, it was rough losing those two guys. They're so important.
It was a very loose midfield with Tomas and Sao in the middle and Lemar and Correa on either side of them. Very, very loose. Not the kind of midfield Cholo wants to play in this type of game. He'd rather keep things very tight. Keep the structure very solid, usually go with three or four central midfielders. Cholo couldn't do that with Rodri unavailable until the last 20, 30 minutes and Koke out entirely. Cholo could not do that. So that was already kind of strike one, was that I think the lineup was as good as it could have gotten, but it wasn't that great to begin with because of the injuries.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually kind of surprised that Vitolo didn't start just because he's a little bit more defensive-minded than someone like maybe Tomas Lemar or Correa is. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that was the only one that I kind of had a question about, but the rest were just kind of enforced. He had no choice but to pick the guys that he did, really.
Yeah, but it did start pretty well, despite that. First,
it did.
10 minutes or so, Atleti pressed up really high. They didn't really put Courtois under any pressure, but then they had the ball in dangerous areas. You thought, okay, maybe there's some danger here. And then Casemiro scores a Chilena.
Yeah.
Because everyone, I don't
like that, dude.
Because everyone decided to mark Sergio Ramos off a corner, and nobody noticed, oh, here's Casemiro. He won't do anything. Nah, Chilena. 1-0.
Yeah, the four people marking Sergio Ramos thing was weird. I mean, it seemed like that was clearly a plan. I doubt that they all just felt like they had to do it, but I don't know. I have no idea. That was just bizarre in every way.
Then one of the few good minutes, few good moments in the game when Angel Correa just fed this beautiful ball up to Griezmann, who then so gently finished it past Thibaut Courtois to equalize. And it stayed that way for a little bit. 1-1, very evenly poised, a good game, lots of action. Lots of yellow cards. Most of those came in the second half, but it was still a very, very physical, very intense game. And then came the first VAR decision, Rob. The Jimenez
penalty. Oh, no. That was not the first VAR decision. The first VAR decision was Atleti's goal. That had to be reviewed for some indeterminate amount of time.
Yes, it was reviewed for some reason when it was clearly onside.
But I think, and the one thing I will say about the first goal is I genuinely thought that they were going to call it off because Vinicius was somewhat fouled by Correa.
Yeah, Correa, quote-unquote, foul. I mean, I didn't think it was a foul.
I didn't either, but I thought that if they go back and look at that on replay, would they, you know, go back to that as the origin of the play?
Yeah, I didn't think it was a foul, but it wasn't offside. And it was a physical play, sure, but this was a very, very physical game that who was the referee? Estrada Fernandez? Yeah, he had no control over it at any point, especially in the second half.
Way too many yellows. But you cannot referee a game like that. I mean, the individual decisions are whatever, and they're kind of boring to talk about, but that many yellow cards just kind of shows that he was a bit out of control.
Yeah, 10 combined yellow cards and the red for Tomas Partey in the second half. His second yellow card when he tried to break Toni Kroos's foot.
I mean, there was a lot of frustration at that point in the game.
At that point, it was 3-1, and at that point, you're like, might as well go down to 8. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm surprised it was Tomas, actually. That's not the person I thought it was going to be.
I thought it was. He had a terrible game.
Oh, it was bad.
He had a terrible game, and it kind of suited him right, I guess. For it to end like that for him, because he just wasn't really at the races on Saturday, which is unfortunate because he's had a very good season otherwise. But this is the kind of game that he needs to play well in.
Yeah, and you and I both really like Tomas, but yeah, he had a properly awful match. But the kind of more concerning thing to me was, I mean, he played badly, but he was in the right places. He just screwed up. So I will just kind of look a bit lost. To me, a bit. I don't know. I didn't feel like he really had much of an impact on the game.
No, he didn't.
Emre spoke for choice, usually having Rodri in there.
No, Sao looked totally... He looked lost. I don't know what was going on, but it was kind of an unfamiliar pairing, Tomas and Sao in the middle, but Sao just... He looked lost. I mean, I think the only really positive thing he did in this game was complete a bunch of passes accurately, 90% pass completion, which I think was the highest, or one of the highest rates in the team. Only Lamont and Griezmann created or completed passes at a higher percentage than him. But yeah, he just looked very unsure and kind of awkward in that position. He needs to be playing further forward, but he couldn't really be afforded that considering Rodri wasn't available.
Well, and he's played in about 3 or 4 different positions so far this season.
Right, so he doesn't really know where he's going to play either on any given day.
Or what he's supposed to do in what position. I mean, that's rough for him. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, I do.
But it's concerning a bit.
Where were we? The first VAR decision. Yes.
Yes.
So Vinicius goes down. Jimenez takes him down. We'll talk about whether it was a penalty or not. But Ramos steps up and buries it. Oblak almost got to it. Oblak guessed right, and I think he might have gotten a finger to it, but obviously not enough to keep it out. Then Ramos does that stupid dance in front of the camera for whatever. And then,
it's not so fun when it's the other guy.
And then we have a couple more decisions that we're going to get to, but eventually Real Madrid found the third goal because Atletico's entire team decided, oh, we're not going to close down Benzema. No, we're not going to close him down. Sure, let's just let him pick out an unmarked Luka Modric, who then feeds Gareth Bale for the third goal, and then Bale flips off the fans for some reason. Like, all right, dude.
Yeah, that did happen.
He should have been shown a yellow for that. I don't know why he wasn't. Actually, I do, because the refereeing was garbage.
It was really quite bad, but maybe he just thought, well, you know, I've already given out 20 million yellow cards this match. Why another?
That's not me saying the referee was in favor of Real Madrid. That's not me saying that. I'm just saying Estrada Fernandez lost control of this game. That's a fair thing to say.
And I think we can say that it's a poor performance by the referee.
Yeah.
There's no conspiracy.
No.
We are not that kind of podcast.
No, we're not. There are plenty of podcasts out there. We are not it.
Yes, no.
And that's where it ended, 3-1. Madrid are now second in the table. Atletico are third, a point behind them, but they no longer have the head-to-head. So if Atletico want to finish above Real Madrid, they're going to have to do it the hard way on points. All things considered, was this an embarrassing performance or not too bad considering the kind of circus that went on around it? I don't think it was that bad. I think Atletico actually played somewhat well, just not well enough.
Yeah, I think it was probably closer than the scoreline reflects. Yeah, I feel Atleti at a few different points in the match were in it, but the decisions, the combination of decisions, poor individual performances, that's the difference in close games. And this kind of thing happens. So I wasn't furious about it, but when it's individual mistakes that mess things up, it does have a tendency to piss you off a little bit.
Yeah.
So it is what it is, I guess. But it was tough to watch.
There are parts of it that were, especially with the constant video reviews. But honestly, I don't think Atleti played all that badly. I mean, the expected goals per Michael Kaley were even. Atleti had 9 shots in the box. I don't think creating opportunities was the problem. I think the VAR was an issue, kind of not going Atleti's way. And yeah, I mean, 2 shots on target from 9 shots in the box is just not really good enough.
Well, and of course, Morata's goal wouldn't have counted in the expected goals either, since it was offside.
Oh, it was beautiful though. The lob, it was beautiful, and he should have. Oh, they should have just given it to him.
Yeah, I don't like thinking about that. That one in particular, that hurts.
Yeah, imagine if it had stood. He's scoring against Real Madrid. Oh,
and he was celebrating too.
He was. He was going to celebrate, which... All the banter.
Damn it. I feel robbed of that moment, especially.
I feel bad now. Like, my stomach kind of hurts again.
I know. I hate it. I feel the same way. I mean, I would have taken a 2-2 draw. I mean, that didn't do jack shit for Atleti anyway, but at least we would have had that goal.
So let's talk about those decisions now. We mentioned Morata's... Was it offside? Was it legal?
It was damn close.
I think he was a shade offside.
Yeah.
Like, I know Atleti's social media, they got up in arms about this. They tweeted out that picture with the grid. Like
the grid.
The grids on it. trying to show that Morata was onside, but it with screenshots like that, it's hard to tell. You have to kind of see it live. That's always my belief.
Well, and they almost certainly have better video reviews in the VAR booth that are not on TV, so.
You'd think so, but this is Spain.
Well, true. One would hope. But yeah. I would think they would have access to most of the angles. But.
I think the Morata goal was just a shade offside. Like, it's such a close call. And there's no guarantee that if Benzema were in that position, he wouldn't have been called offside either. I mean, you can't think it's just all going against Atletico. Even though it did go against Atletico, it's not a conspiracy theory. We're not partaking in that.
No, of course not. But, I mean, I think it's one of those weird things with VAR, because I like it, but, man, it takes a lot of the air out of some of these moments when you want to celebrate a goal, but they realize, well, they're going to look at it on VAR, and it may come back, and I feel like an idiot now.
Yeah, that's the issue with it, is it kind of disrupts the flow of the game, and the more natural, like, celebratory moments, it kind of deals a blow to that sometimes. But it's for the good of the game. Even if
no one likes to see egregious errors.
No, and there still are egregious errors because this is Spain.
Yeah, it's very true. I think VAR will be very different in a lot of different countries.
Yeah. Anyway, the Jimenez foul on Vinicius, was that a penalty?
Oh, man. I mean, much like the offside, I think this is about as close to a 50-50 as you can get, because I can honestly see a point for both sides on it.
Well, Jimenez fouled him twice, didn't he?
I think he might have even fouled him three times. I think he may have kicked him twice outside the box and then kicked him once inside the box.
Right, and he had to foul him because Vinicius beat him for pace, which no one really beats Jimenez for pace, but Vinicius just ran him. So he had to foul him like two or three times. And I think the second one was like right on the edge of the box. Like, again, it's a very close call, but I think it was a penalty.
I think the argument for it being a penalty is the continuation thing. If like the foul continues into the box, and it was pretty borderline.
And it did. I think it did.
Yeah. And I think the initial foul was fairly outside. Extreme distance, but it was noticeably outside the area. But I think the continuation thing is why it was a penalty.
It's a lot like the rule in basketball, continuation.
Yeah, and I can understand that argument. It's annoying, though, because I hate seeing Sergio Ramos take some penalties. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Why have we been forsaken with Sergio Ramos taking penalties?
I sent out a tweet on the ITC Twitter account. I pray harder for Ramos's retirement than I do for Messi's.
Oh, easy.
That is an easy choice.
He's going to play until he's like 57, isn't he?
Yeah, all in Spain, too. He's never leaving. He's always going to be there. Ugh.
It's his team now, that's for sure.
Finally, the Morata penalty. For the second week in a row, he could have drawn a penalty.
Correct. But
this time, Casemiro might have fouled him in the box, but there also might have been a handball first. I think there was a handball first. Morata knocked the ball down, I think with his forearm, and then Casemiro fouled him, so I don't think that was a penalty either. I think it was a handball.
Yeah. This one's a bit weird because I'm not entirely sure. The handball rules are so vague.
Right.
That it's a total crapshoot on what the result is going to be. I don't ever want to put too much stock into it.
Like, what if it's simultaneous? Like, where on the arm did it hit him? Like, the rules are so ambiguous.
Is it intentional?
Right.
What the hell does that mean?
And I actually think this might have been intentional on Morata's part, which is also why I don't think it was given. Mm. And he did knock it down first. So I think all three of those calls, as angry as they made Atletico Twitter, I think all three of them were right. It stinks to have them all go against you, but those are the fine margins that VAR produces. And look, sometimes you got to make your own luck. If you're relying on VAR and weird deflections and that kind of thing to grant you your luck, chances are you might not be good enough to begin with. And it's worth keeping in mind, Atletico have had calls go their way quite a bit this season. They've had results they had no business getting kind of go their way this season. We've talked about them.
Well, let's not forget, Atletico's most successful teams were successful in part because they could bend the rules and bend the referee
exactly.
to sort of give calls to their side, let fouls go. And we're in a brave new world where you can't get away with stuff that some of the Atletico teams of old like to do.
Yep, this is a less kind of streetwise Atletico, as it were.
Mm.
They retain the physicality, they retain the intensity in games like this, but they can't quite bend the rules to get that extra set piece, or they can't quite... They're not as streetwise as they once were. They don't quite have those kinds of players anymore. There is no Raul Garcia in this team. There is no Gabby anymore. You know,
yeah.
characters like that. Costa is a shell of what he used to be, honestly.
And he's been gone.
And he's been forever. Gone basically the entire season.
Yeah.
I mean, you still have Godin here, and that's nice. And Correa is kind of a fighter. That's why Cholo likes him so much. But you know, Antoine Griezmann is not really that type of player. I mean, as much as we love him, he's not that type of player.
He will put in one really atrocious challenge in every big game and get a yellow.
And get a yellow card, which he did in this one.
Yeah, it's just what happens. He just wants to foul someone at some stage.
I mean, you do wonder where those guys, where that's going to come from. And it doesn't really come from anywhere anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you think about guys like Saul, Koke, and Rodri, the three main Spanish guys that are going to be the future of this team, presumably. None of those guys are particularly, like, shouty, pointy on the pitch, you know, like Gabby or Raul Garcia. They're not going to grab someone, like, by the scruff of their neck or something.
Right.
It's a different kind of team now, and I think it actually is appropriate for the changes in football, because it's kind of gone less the way of physicality.
Which, in a way, brings us to Simeone. In a way, that brings us to the recent kind of spate of, I wouldn't say obituaries, but renewed calls for Cholo to maybe leave. That he's too stubborn, that he's not changing. And in some very noticeable ways, he's not changing, but in some more subtle ways, he is. Like bringing Rodri into this team and making him kind of the focal point when he's fit, of course. Relying on more technical, versatile, skillful players rather than just the battlers and warriors of the past. You lose attitude and you lose some, maybe a little bit of intimidation there, that like intimidating, that fear factor. But you also show that you're willing to move a bit with the times, maybe not as radical a leap as some would like, but you're still moving with the times.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the reason that Simeone kind of has this reputation, why it's getting kind of all of this criticism now, is because the change has been really slow. It has happened, but it's just been really slow.
And it hasn't been what everyone's wanted it to be, which is moving to like a 4-3-3 and scoring three or four goals, you know, every 3 weeks or so, and just like battering opponents. Atletico don't do that.
But I don't understand why that's not a surprise to people, because it's Simeone. I mean, you think he's really going to change? He was the same kind of player as he is as a manager. It's not going to change radically, but he is slowly changing. I agree with you. I mean, Thomas Lemar has played the fifth most games in this team, which is crazy. I mean, that wouldn't have happened in the title-winning team. I mean, there wasn't space for a player like that, really.
Yeah. There wasn't space for a kind of a technical on-ball wizard like Lemar is. And Lemar, by the way, I wasn't very impressed with him again. Completed a high percentage of his passes, but and worked hard, made four tackles, couple interceptions, but again, just not terribly impressed with him. Not for the first time. I know I'm kind of hard on him, but come on, he's the record signing.
Yeah, I thought that the radar that StatsBomb put out about him was interesting, because it kind of backs up what we've been seeing, that the best thing he's doing is pressuring other players.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what we've been seeing all season, but his passing is just nowhere near what we thought it would be.
And there is value in pressing as much as he does and completing passes accurately. like he does.
Well, that's why Simeone likes him so much, I think.
Yeah, because he presses.
It makes sense.
Yeah. Simeone also kept talking about force after the game and how he kind of said this. I'm going to say it too. Yeah, he gave Real Madrid a lot of credit. I think Atletico were weak in midfield, and Real Madrid pounced all over that factoid. They played with a lot of intensity, more than they usually play with in this fixture, I think. Definitely more than they played with at the Bernabeu back in September. They played with a lot of heart and a lot of intensity, and I'm not sure Atleti were ready for that. I'm not sure they could have been, considering the injuries that they've been, you know, that they've had to wrestle with basically the whole season. So give Real Madrid credit where it's due. Cholo did, so I think we kind of have to do the same.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was a game of fine margins, but I think
they were better.
You can't really say that they weren't the better team. I mean, it wasn't by a lot, but they were definitely the better team, I would say. I mean, Vinicius Jr. just ran Atletico ragged.
Yeah, as we talked about on the preview pod.
I'm glad we did now.
we kind of worried about who would stop him, and the answer was Santi Arias for a little bit, and then not really anybody.
He needed some help, and he wasn't getting it either from the central midfielders or from Correa, really.
Yeah, that's really where you miss Koke. Really, yeah. Really where you miss him. And you miss Rodri, too, because he recovers the ball at an extremely high rate as well.
Yeah, it would have been a much different game with those guys in, but this is what happens.
This is what happened.
Yeah, but I really liked Diego Simeone's quotes after the game, actually. As annoying as it is that we lost to them in this fashion, you have to give them credit.
Yeah, and Cholo also refused to blame VAR, which I think is taking the high road. Atleti didn't deserve to win anyway, regardless of the fine margins and regardless of those decisions going against them. They weren't quite good enough anyway. Listen, the past two seasons, the Madrid derby, the scoreline is 6-6. That includes the Super Cup. So this is a rivalry. This is what a rivalry looks like. Both teams win. And this is now one of the biggest fixtures in the world. And a lot of that's because of Simeone. And a lot of that is because of how he's revitalized Atletico. Yeah, this was a loss, and yeah, it stunk. But this is now a rivalry. Real Madrid take this pretty seriously now. And they have been for several years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, ever since all of the horrible results in a row leading up to the cup final in 2013, after that it's been a lot more meaningful, especially after the title season and then the 4-0. It's a big game, and that's good. I mean, I really hope, though, that we don't see them in the Champions League.
Yeah.
That is all I can hope for. But I know that we will if we get that opportunity.
Yeah, don't speak that into existence, Rob.
Okay. I won't. But I fear it. I just, it makes me ill just thinking about it.
It's always reasonable.
Yeah.
Last question I've got for you. And then we'll talk a little bit about the Champions League, and then we'll sign off. Should Atletico punt on La Liga? Is this done? 7 points back now with 15 weeks to go.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's done. I think we got to go for the Champions League. I mean, realistically, that's the only trophy they can win. I think at La Liga, you just cannot drop this many points and expect to be in it.
No, yeah.
I don't think they'll ever punt anything under Diego Simeone, but I think they know now where their focus is.
No, they did punt the Copa to a degree.
Well, true.
Yeah.
Well, true.
But
you know, so they really need good results in this Champions League. That, and now all of the pressure is going to be on those matches, really.
You know, you've won 12 out of 23 in the league. That's not title-winning form.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not. There are 7 points behind, which isn't impossible, but then you realize how consistent Barca are domestically and how rarely they drop points. I mean, yeah, they've drawn 6 times this year, but they still have a healthy lead over Atletico, and is 6 points over Real Madrid. That's also pretty healthy. I know the papers have been like, oh, Madrid are going for everything now. Like, well, let's hold our horses here. Yeah, they've won 5 in a row. Let's hold our horses here, though. You know, this is probably still Barca's league. I thought the race was over last week when Atleti lost to Bettis.
This is
probably done, even with Barca dropping points for the second week in a row. Atletico couldn't capitalize. You know, Real Madrid did, but they're still 6 points behind anyway. And they don't have head-to-head. They're not going to have head-to-head, considering that 5-1 loss in the Clásico.
Yeah, exactly. So that's not going to happen. So yeah, I think it's pretty much over. La Liga is very unique in that way that, I mean, individual losses really, really come back to haunt you, even in a crazy season like this one's been.
Let us talk briefly about the Champions League. Atletico don't play till next week. They have Rayo Vallecano in the middle of that on Saturday. But what is coming up in the Champions League? Real Madrid and Ajax this week. PSG and United.
Yeah, we got Roma, Porto.
And then Spurs and Dortmund is the last one.
Yes. Yes.
I'm looking forward... I do want to watch Ajax and Madrid. I do kind of want to watch that and see how... Not spry isn't the right word, but just how vibrant this young Ajax team is going to be against a juggernaut like Madrid. I am excited to see that. It'll be pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tottenham Dortmund is probably... Or Manchester United, PSG, whichever way you want to look at it, is the closest matchup. I mean, PSG have some pretty nasty injuries they picked up this weekend with Cavani going out. So yeah. I think Tottenham Dortmund may be the closest in terms of talent level.
Tottenham Dortmund is going to be fun, and that's going to go either way.
Goals. I think there will be goals.
That is a bold prediction.
Yeah. I think there will also be goals in the Ajax Real Madrid, but I think they will be fairly one-sided.
They'll be all for Madrid.
Yeah, I can see this being one of these classic Madrid round of 16s.
Well, I hope you're wrong, but I
can see. Oh, me too.
But I can see, like, I could see a situation where there's like 10 goals and 6 of them are for Madrid.
I think Liverpool-Bayern will be very interesting. Because that's also quite close, but I think both those teams are better than Tottenham and Dortmund, even though Bayern aren't having the best season. They're still pretty good.
Yes, and that will be very entertaining, I think. Yeah, so Real Madrid play on Wednesday, and then next Tuesday, Barca are at Lyon, and next Wednesday, Atletico host Juventus. So that's still a good 9 days away. We're going to have some hashtag content with our sister blog, Black and White and Red All Over, Juventus Nation on Twitter. We're going to have some cool stuff dropping with them before the game, after the game. You're going to want to keep it here. In the meantime, though, again, Rayo Vallecano at the weekend. Rayo are in the drop zone. Atleti only notched a 1-0 win over them back in August. That was on my birthday, actually, August 25th. 1-0 win at the Wanda Metropolitano. Rayo are in, well, they were in decent form. They lost their last two, though. The loss to Espanyol this past weekend was pretty damaging. They have the second worst goal difference in La Liga. But Atleti desperately need to bounce back, and I have belief that they will, even though it is on the road, and Atleti aren't that good on the road.
Well, both Atleti and Juventus have kind of friendly schedules this weekend. Juventus play, I think, Frosinone, who are also in the relegation zone at the moment. So, a little bit of an easy warm-up game. But yeah, I should think Atleti will win this game pretty easily.
Gotta watch out for Raul de Tomas, Rayo Vallecano's leading goal scorer.
Is that the guy that has just the letters on the back of his shirt?
Yeah, RDT.
that's unique.
That be him. He's got 9 goals this season. He's their leading scorer. He's approaching the part of the Pichichi chart that you actually see. So good for him and good for Rayo that they have a player who can do that. And guess what, Rob? Mario Suarez is in this team.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. He bailed on China.
Yeah, he decided to come back to Spain, and he got 11 minutes in at the weekend.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be nice for him. He still knows a few people that were on the team when he played, so yeah, Mario, that'll be nice to see him again.
Mario is
still... We, of course, wish him all the best. Glad he's back in Spain.
Yeah, he was always a class act. He is still very loved at Atletico. Wasn't always the best player, but he always worked hard, and he left on very, very good terms. They still love him. So
Well, I mean, like what we were talking about earlier, he's a very the last generation Simeone player. Not very talented, but he worked his ass off, and that's all you really had to do.
Yep,
and but now they are a little bit higher standards, I think, in this team in terms of your talent.
And, of course, he scored that goal against the Leverkusen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good, too.
The one that should have been a Bernd Leno own goal?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Bernd. Yeah. Woohoo.
Now, Arsenal goalkeeper, Bernd Leno.
Yeah, he's all right. He's fine. He's a guy. But he was on the other end of that Oblak triple save.
That's right.
A few years ago as well. He got to watch that one, got a front row seat.
Well, on that note, on that reminiscent, a note of reminiscing, as
yes.
it were, that's it for us. We're going to sign off now. Rob, thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat.
My pleasure.
Follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. Follow me, your host, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. You can subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts. And you can become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo at patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. You'll get some cool bonus features, including our bonus podcasts, which we are going to bring back just in time for the return of the Champions League. patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. We'll be back after Rayo Atleti. Until then, adios.